Bickley and Murata. Social Studies. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
Unlike Ben Simmons in Philadelphia, Sarah Cazell has reported for duty
to
host Social Studies today.
Yeah.
And we're grateful for it.
Thanks,
you, Sarah.
And like Ben Simmons, I am an all-star. Welcome, everybody.
Unlike Ben Simmons,
well done.
You have a jump shot.
Well done. That's right.
Never been associated with any gender.
I love that.
Oh, at least not.
So you got Herm Edwards swag. That's where it is. There you go.
I absorbed it.
Yes,
he
you
lost
did.
It. I absorbed
that's
it.
That's right.
Welcome into Social Studies, everybody. We do it every day at 9 o'clock where we get social with you on Twitter at Bickley_Murata. That is where Jarrett posts our questions for the day and you can participate responding to them. I pick my favorites. I read them on the air. That's how this works. Cliff Kingsbury spoke to reporters yesterday after Sunday's win over the Vikings, and he immediately owned up to the offense not taking care of the ball the way he would like them to, and the defense getting out to a slow start against Minnesota. Of these four options, which recurring issue for the Cardinals concerns you the most? Timeout usage, clock management, penalties, or turnovers?
Ooh. Timeout usage and clock management, two separate things?
They are.
Okay.
Yeah, like timeout usage is wasting timeouts early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Clock management would be like at the end of half,
right.
At the end
right.
of game.
I get you.
Right.
I
don't know which one of those rates above the other.
It's clock management for me. They ran into the timeout thing in the Tennessee game, but we pointed it out, and it was talked about. It wasn't Cliff Kingsbury's fault that they had to burn timeouts when you have officials standing over the ball with the play clock running down, and they're not allowing the center to snap the ball to Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do? You're not taking a penalty there. I'll say clock management then. And we saw a pretty egregious example of it late in the game that nearly cost them the game against Minnesota.
Okay. I'll vote for that.
Two for clock management?
Sure.
All right. That does get a lot of votes, but it is 43% of the vote going to penalties. 24% went with clock management. 18% went with timeout usage, probably a little diluted between the two. And then 15% went with turnovers. On to our next question. Training camp for the Suns starts 1 week from today. So we talked a little bit of Suns earlier in the show. I thought it started on the 28th.
Media days a week.
Shut up, Jarrett.
Stop correcting me, Jarrett.
Be funnier. Shut up, Jarrett.
So we talked little Suns earlier
wow.
in the show. We're asking, which Valley duo is more exciting to you? Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, or Chris Paul and Devin
oh.
Booker? Most exciting combo in the Valley.
I'm going Suns. I'm going Book and CP3. Because even though D-Hop's a great player, his, you know, he might get two touchdowns a game best. Kyler Murray's the most exciting of the four.
Ooh, okay.
But 2 and 3 are Book and CP3.
Got
think
it.
So?
I do.
I think it's actually a great question.
It is. Jarrett?
I'm going to go.
Good question,
I'm
Jarrett.
I'm actually going to go Kyler and D-Hop.
Really?
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I wouldn't say, like, Chris Paul is a maestro. I wouldn't call him an exciting player.
If it were, if you swapped in DA
totally
for one of the players, would you change your mind?
I'm mesmerized watching
no.
Chris
no?
Paul dribble
okay.
the basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some flash in the ball handling, but, I mean, there's.
Or when he takes over a game late.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's a great question. Well done, Jarrett. You don't
yes.
have to shut up.
Yeah,
right
you don't
now.
Have to shut up. I take it all back, Jarrett.
But stop correcting me, Jarrett. 53% of our vote went with Kyler and D-Hop. I thought it was going to be Suns, but it's 53% of our vote going with Kyler and DeAndre
yep.
Hopkins. 47% went with CP3.
If I ask this question a couple months from now, we'll see.
Right, yeah. exactly.
Right. And right. Look, you know there's not a bigger Devin Booker fan in the Valley than me, but
yeah.
again, he is just methodical and deadly from 15 feet. That doesn't exactly, in today's NBA, doesn't exactly scream exciting.
Sure.
It's effective.
I don't know, when he gets in that zone, okay, but I would apply that to D-Hop as well. D-Hop is not like a Tyreek Hill who just blows you away with his speed. He's not like
But the hands, though.
I know.
He can make catches that nobody else can make.
Yeah. Anthony says, you forgot D. Baxter and Rat Leon.
That's a good choice.
That's where Jared's vote went. He will not let Rat Leon go.
We're all trying to forget. And then Big487 says, at least you all were humble enough not to put yourselves in the poll. I think Bickley and Marotta are in the running.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Is there any write-ins there or no?
Right. Not really. Just not really beyond D. Baxter. And we got some food combos, like a patty melt and a large drink.
Wow.
Suggestion.
Oh, patty melt is so good.
Jarrett actually voted for a bagel and whitefish.
Do you know why a patty melt is so good, Jarrett? Tell me why a patty melt is so good. It's rye bread.
Yeah, it has to be a crunchy, perfectly toasted rye bread.
Yes. Rye bread is totally underrated.
It's a totally different consistency than a normal hamburger.
Yes.
But I also like the sautéed onions and the cheese and the...
Ooh. Is it too early for a patty
melt? No.
Let's go. That sounds good. All right. A question we put out there yesterday in honor of Kyler Murray, claiming he's never seen Star Wars. I still have a hard time wrapping my mind around that. Open-ended question. We're asking, what is your favorite big movie franchise of all time? And which major movie franchise have you surprisingly never seen?
Oh, wow.
I'm not really... I don't get sucked in by the big franchise, the sequels, and all that. So I'll go the Rocky series, although several of the movies in that series are not good.
Yeah.
And there's a ton I haven't seen. I haven't seen any of the Lord of the Rings. I haven't seen any Terminator movies. I didn't tell you guys. I did watch more than half of the original Jurassic Park quite recently.
Did you?
More than half.
What'd you think?
Starting from the beginning?
I was really tired, and I dozed off, and I have not picked it back up. I'd probably start
Jeff
it back
Goldblum
over.
Jeff Goldblum is so great. Yeah. Shut up, Jared. He's so great now.
You can't even start it.
Your doctors were so...
Damn, what about for you?
I have never, ever seen any of the Fast and Furious series.
You're really missing out.
0 for 9.
Here's how I've done this. I've seen one of them, and it was Tokyo Drift.
Oh my gosh!
I'm not even lying about that.
Oh my gosh! My fiance is obsessed with the Fast and the Furious. Yeah, like kind of ironically, but also loves it a little too much. And
really
I'm still marrying him.
Have you seen all 9 of them?
That's love. I think so.
And Hobbs and Shaw.
Yes. Yes. He thankfully leaves me out of those outings because I refuse to go see them with him. I've never seen Lord of the Rings either, but we grew up in a Star Wars household. Yes. Big fan.
Yeah?
Yeah. I haven't seen some of the more recent ones.
I love
ones,
the original Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple of the more recent editions.
I vote
lost
for the
me,
MCU.
As your favorite big movie franchise?
That's a big franchise.
That's a lot of movies. Yeah.
22
that, like
movies.
That'd be the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
That's right.
Is that what that is?
22 movies and 3 TV shows. 4 TV shows.
Wow. There was a time when my kids were younger that I clicked off every single one of them. I am so far behind on that thing now.
Oh, you and me both.
Yeah, it's a
lot. I got 10 minutes into Captain Marvel, and I was like,
right.
What's going on here? Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Social studies every day at 9 o'clock with Sarah Cazell.
The all-star.
The ruthless. You can get involved on Twitter at Bickley_Marotta. Coming up next, all eyes are on Aaron Rodgers going into Monday Night Football, and he answered some questions, but not quite all. We'll get into that more NFL talk next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta. Hash marks.
I think that there's even more now than when I started playing. There's so many overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis. So it's nice to come out, have a good performance, and get the trolls off our back for at least a week.
It's Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, following Monday Night Football last night. The Packers got in the win column. They beat Detroit. They're 1-1, 35-17 the final. Rodgers was really good, especially in the second half. 4 touchdown passes, 3 of them to a running back in Aaron Jones, who also scored 4 touchdowns in the game. It's exactly what Green Bay needed, and in a lot of ways, Bick, exactly what Aaron Rodgers needed, because you heard him reference it there. Quiet the trolls for at least a
week.
Well,
and listen, I was watching Aaron Rodgers in that second half, and I just marveled at his arm talent, the way he just throws these downhill darts right into the breadbasket of receivers, hits them in stride. It is so hard to defend that guy. And then I heard that post-game press conference, and I thought, man, this guy really, really has got to give this a rest. For him to kind of scoff at social media and overreactions to him and the Packers and to the trolls when he started all of it. All of it.
Yeah, it's just a convenient little tidbit to leave out there.
Okay, and this is, he has made this all about himself. There's one, it's one thing to say, you know what, this organization I'm playing for, they don't know what they're doing. They drafted my replacement instead of giving me a skill player or drafting a player that can help me win a championship. Now they are drafting a kid that may or may not make it at the expense of. I get all that. People actually vibe with Aaron Rodgers on that. But when you orchestrate a hostile takeover of the NFL draft to put the Packers in a terrible situation, and you remove yourself from all offseason activity, and then you roll into town acting aloof and too cool for school, and like you're not even involved or engaged with any of your teammates, like you're above them, and you get blown out by the Saints and Jameis Winston, yeah, and you don't score a touchdown, you do not have the right to complain about trolls or noise or any reaction whatsoever.
Well, I think the trolls would be really quiet if the Packers take care of business against San Francisco in week three.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And I hope they do.
Yeah, that'd be nice for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Staying in the same division at quarterbacks, Andy Dalton. By the way, I've got a really weird question on Andy Dalton. Is his hair getting redder? It almost looks unnaturally red at this point.
Maybe he's
he took his helmet off the other day, and I was like, goodness great. I mean, he's
like,
I mean,
fire red.
Yeah. Like the
unnerving
heat,
red.
Like the heat miser.
Right.
Anyway, he suffered a knee injury, no ACL or MCL tear. What was that?
Ronald McDalton.
Did you see that weirdness in the press conference with Matt Nagy yesterday?
Here it is.
As far as the quarterback situation with Andy, he's still working through all his results right now and going through that. So we'll know more later on tonight with him. So there's no ACL. We felt that yesterday, like I said, but I appreciate his toughness, and I thought he was playing really well.
If Andy's healthy, is he your starter?
If Andy is healthy, is he your starter? That's something that I'm not going to get into with scheme.
That's not scheme.
Of course it is. That's 100% scheme, Brad. That's 100% scheme.
And that would be Brad Biggs.
Chicago Tribune, correct?
Yeah.
And then after that press conference, the Bears felt it necessary to put out a statement that says, if Andy Dalton is healthy, he's our star.
Okay. This is
directly answering the question that the head coach wouldn't answer.
What
from.
What type of pictures does Andy Dalton have of somebody in that franchise that not only do they have to, it's like they have to go out of their way to make sure that he knows he's the starter.
The fact of the matter is, though, Justin Fields came in relief of Andy Dalton and wasn't very good.
He wasn't very good. Yet they're fighting a battle in Chicago where the public opinion still is overwhelmingly behind Justin Fields.
Of course.
The shiny new object.
Absolutely.
Like you said. And it's really influencing, you know, Matt Nagy and the way that he's treating the media. The fact that you wouldn't even address if that guy's your starting quarterback, because that's a scheme question. Wow.
Well, I mean, the difference in philosophy, that's a personnel question.
Right. I mean, so your scheme changes dramatically when you insert another quarterback? That's not a well-run operation. All right, so to me, this is interesting to me because this is a head coach who is kind of swimming in his own town, and that's a tough town to turn on you. Philly's even worse. If Philly turns on you, ask Mike Schmidt what it's like when a town turns on you. Or Rich Kotite with the Jets.
Philly turned on Mike Schmidt?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
Ben Simmons. That. Ben Simmons right
ben
now.
Ben Simmons, great example.
Yeah, that is a great example. One other quarterback note, Tyrod Taylor out already, officially ruled out for Thursday night against Carolina. Davis Mills, the rookie, will start. And that's fueled all of this speculation on Deshaun Watson And David Culley, the head coach of the Texans, had to come out and make it known yesterday that we're not going down that road.
Deshaun Watson will be deactivated this week, just like he has been for the first two ball games.
Which is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine the firestorm that would, if Taylor got hurt and the Texans all of a sudden said, okay, Deshaun, you're in there That would have been a bad look.
Okay, would they have gone there? The way that I was heard the story is that he has simply made it clear, I am not playing a down of football for you.
So I guess it wasn't an option.
No.
But I will say it only because the speculation was there.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I don't know where this whole thing is going, but I am going to tell you, like I said, if I think Tua, I don't know what Tua's injury status is, but I know that owner, Stephen Ross, really wanted Deshaun Watson.
Yes. That's the possibility.
That's
I don't think Houston's going
to
go down that road. I can tell you, too, his injury status. He's always injured.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was Brian Flores, the head coach of the Dolphins, on that.
Obviously, he went out of the game yesterday. We're still running some tests. He's in a lot of pain yesterday. Still in a good deal of pain today. But, I think, we'll call him day-to-day right now. He's a tough kid. I mean, I'd say he's a very tough kid. I mean, just coming back from the hip. I think he had a thumb last year that he played through. He tried to go yesterday. Toughness isn't something that, we'll question with him. He's going to do everything he can to get back as soon as he can.
Yeah, so we shall see there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's already, 2 weeks in. Already four teams, maybe more, with quarterback questions because of injury, and yet Cam Newton still on the sideline.
Yeah, like I said, that's a weird combination of a guy that's very extra, that a guy that brings a lot of
aura,
a lot of stuff that coaches don't want, plus the unvaccinated thing. That's keeping him out.
Text your thoughts on that to the FanDuel text line. It's open at 620. Right now. Coming up next, Cardinals 2-0, one of seven teams. What does it mean for their spot in power rankings? That and more Cardinal talk next. Spickley and Marotta Mornings, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right, welcome back to Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on 98.7 FM, final half hour of the show. And let's get to the Arizona Sports Poll question that is up now on arizonasports.com. The question, Dan and Vince, is what should the Cardinals do when DeAndre Hopkins is doubled? Still prioritize him as the number one option? Look for him, but don't force it? Or use Hopkins as a decoy?
I have a clear answer on this one.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you?
Yeah.
What's yours? Look for him, but don't force it. I mean, you're using DeAndre Hopkins as a decoy because, he got bracketed by a pretty bad Minnesota defense. You just set a blueprint for the rest of the season if you're not going to look at him. They got to look at him, but they can't force it. The spreading around of the football was a good thing, but when you have a weapon like DeAndre Hopkins, in certain situations, you have to call on him.
Right. This is one of those things that, to me, the idea that Kyler Murray's been great at spreading the ball around. Okay, a lot of this stuff, the touchdown passes to Christian Kirk, one touchdown pass to Christian Kirk in the fourth down completion, that was from a zero blitz situation. That was not a guy reading his progressions and finding the open guy. That was a guy going to a very distinct player because of the blitz coming in his face. Rondale Moore's touchdown came on a scramble and a busted play. So the idea that he's going through reads and finding the open man, it's real easy to say that when you look at the stats.
Two of the three touchdowns to Hopkins in the first 2 weeks have been on broken plays.
Right, but I will say I do think he is seeing the field better. I can't quantify that, but I think he is.
Yeah.
For instance, Trevor Lawrence, 36% of his passes so far, uncatchable.
Oh.
Highest in the NFL.
37%?
36%.
Wow.
Woof.
That's a lot. That's a big number for uncatchable passes.
But his hair is manageable and tangle-free. Yeah.
And Sarah doesn't look like Trevor Lawrence, Jared, so shut up.
I agree.
Shut up, Jared.
I never said that.
Yes, you did.
I said Trevor Lawrence looks like Sarah.
I wish I had his hair, but that's it.
And again, Jared told his future wife that she looked like Mitch Hedberg.
I'll show you a picture of him.
Amazingly so.
Did we get results on that?
Yes. Yeah, we can. So look for him, but don't force it is what we will vote on that poll question. And that is 64% of the vote right there. Look for him, but don't force it. 21% say use Hop as a decoy. 15% say prioritize him as the top option.
All right. There you go. There's today's Sanderson Ford poll question on the homepage at ArizonaSports.com.
Number six, the Arizona Cardinals. And you would say, well, why aren't they higher? Why aren't they higher? Kyler Murray's an MVP candidate. Yeah, that's true. They beat up on the Minnesota Vikings. They squeaked out a win against Minnesota and Kirk Cousins and company. Minnesota seems to can't figure it out in their division nor in the conference at all. Arizona is going to be an interesting football team down the stretch. If they can somehow keep that defense together, I think Kyler Murray and this offense can put up points if the defense can continue to play as well as they've been playing.
Keyshawn Johnson from ESPN Radio. I mean, the Vikings not being able to figure it out in division or conference. That was their first conference game. They haven't played a division game yet. He's got them at number six. The ESPN power rankings have the Cardinals at number seven, up from 12 last week, which is interesting because of the teams that are ahead of them. Buccaneers 1, Rams 2, Chiefs, even with the loss, 3. I have a problem with that.
Do you?
Baltimore's 1-1. The Chiefs are 1-1. Baltimore beat the Chiefs, yet the Chiefs are ahead of Baltimore.
I don't like that in power rankings. There's a fundamental thing. Some people go, well, it doesn't matter that they're 0-2. They're still my Super Bowl. They're still the best team. That's not what a power ranking is supposed to be, in my opinion.
It's supposed to be a snapshot of where we are.
It was like when they did that quarterback rankings after week one, and Aaron Rodgers was still like number three.
Yeah, we looked at that, by the way, this week, Tannenbaum's.
Yeah.
I got to look for that separately. I haven't seen
that
yet.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. San Francisco is 4.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo, 5.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle, 6. Cardinals, 7. So Seattle is a spot ahead of the Cardinals despite a loss to a team the undefeated Cardinals absolutely dominated.
That's stupid. And listen, Buffalo is 1-1. Buffalo did not look good in week one. This is another one of those, okay, but they're still a great team kind of thing. I don't know.
I totally agree with you that when you are doing power rankings, you can marginally consider reputation in recent history, but so many of these are going back to last year.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. Pro Football Talk has the Cardinals at number 7. I've seen them at 6. They went on Sunday. They probably top 5.
Which,
for what it's worth.
Yeah. NBC Sports has them at 5. Yahoo, 9. There's a couple of other ones. I haven't seen the full list of them right now. Again, you keep taking care of your business, you'll rise. And, power rankings to me are the first cousins of the overreaction crowd.
That's good. I like that. First cousins. Yeah, I agree with that.
Maybe even siblings. Part of the overreaction is people clamoring to get results of power rankings, which I'm not going to lie. I read them. I consume them. I like to see the thumbnail of what's going on, but it's definitely an overreaction.
I think out of 2 weeks, I'm very happy with how the Cardinals' wide receiver room is shaping up. And that is to say, Rondale Moore plus Christian Kirk have been very good.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, excites me. The running game, I'm not sure what to think yet. There are times when I think it's good. There are times when I think it's being underutilized. We'll see.
Chase Edmonds is averaging like 5.6 yards a carry.
He's looked good. But that power running game that we thought might be part of it, that's yet to get unleashed. The kicking game is phenomenal. Matt Prater and Andy Lee, they're both at a real high level right now.
You know, after we had Matt Prater on, I saw Mark Dalton from the Cardinals put out a tweet. Matt Prater now holds the longest field goal for 3 different franchises.
Wow.
That's a big leg.
Yeah.
It's amazing that he was available. I mean, I know the Detroit Lions don't
Yeah, I mean,
have kickers.
Why do they need a good kicker if they don't have good players at any other position? I'm joking. Yeah. Matt Prater was on with us yesterday.
That was a good acquisition, no doubt.
Oh, definitely was. And I was kind of lukewarm on it at first, and I completely underestimated it. But in his first year with the team, Matt Prater said this.
I'm honestly excited. I love this team from top to bottom, ownership, the coaches, my teammates. It's just a different vibe than what I've been used to the last few years. Yeah, everybody's confident. It's a pretty tight group. Everyone on the team gets along great. So I'm excited for the season. I think that we're just getting started.
Yeah, that's a guy who's played for different organizations, and he mentioned, obviously, from what he's used to. I mean, he was most recently in Detroit, which has been a tough place to play football over the last few years. So maybe he's onto something. Maybe the vibe of this team is that strong. Cliff Kingsbury also spoke to the media yesterday following that win over the Vikings on Sunday. And he was asked, all right, you've seen the film. What are your takeaways
now? Definitely. It's much easier to coach off a win than a loss. That's kind of the first thing I think that all of us as a coaching staff feel when we watch the tape today. But, you know, the turnovers are something offensive. We got to do a better job taking care of the football. We had, I think, 11 negative plays on offense that really hurt us, put us behind the chains and ended drives. And then defensively, first half, being able to slow down that run game. Did a nice job in the second half making some adjustments and slowing it down, but we can't let teams get off to that type of start.
Yeah, on that subject of negative plays, Danielle Hunter kind of had his way with DJ Humphreys in that game. Three sacks, that was obviously concerning, especially considering how the Cardinals' offensive line was able to neutralize that Tennessee pass rush in week one. So that's something to keep an eye on as well.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of areas of good with this football team, particularly the quarterback and his level of play so far. The rush defense, the defensive line, wildly great in week one, wildly not in week two. What exactly do we have with this? That's the big thing.
Is it somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Text GATE to 620-620 and register to participate in the Arizona Sports Ultimate Virtual Tailgate Experience fueled by M-Drive. Join your favorite Arizona Sports host before the Cards game this Sunday, and you'll have the chance to win amazing prizes, including tickets to an upcoming game, autographed memorabilia, and much more. Once again, that's GATE, G-A-T-E, to 620-620. Coming up next, some final thoughts, including a daily dose of Vinny Joe trivia, and I'll tell you about the most fascinating college football team in the whole country.
Really?
Yes. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata. Song of the Day. Brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Sonic Grilled Cheeseburger. For a limited time, only at Sonic.
You know what they say, Vinny? You can reuse clues, a mustache, not a mustache. You can recycle songs of the day.
This is Bertie Higgins, Key Largo, mustache.
This is still one of the happiest, happy, happy, happy songs ever recorded. I never not liked this song.
Oh, it's fantastic.
We're playing it again today because do you remember the 21st day of September? It is September 21st.
21st night of September.
Oh, that too?
So we'll have to share our 21st night of September stories tomorrow morning here on Bickley and Murata Mornings.
Do you remember when we played this song a day late on September 2nd? Because we didn't even do it on the 1st of September.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I remember.
We've played this for song. This has got to be the all-time champion for song of the day.
As you've discovered, Sarah, we can be a pretty sloppy crew here.
But that's the charm, is it not?
We're not really on our details.
Not everybody listens every day, and not everybody listens at the same time every day.
That is true.
I don't care. I do.
Oh, I don't think so.
Somebody said a radio listening audience is like a subway train.
Ooh.
Stops. The door is open. People get on. People get off.
And it smells like urine.
Oh, my God.
I was going to say, and at least one of them is urinating in the corner.
Yeah.
You beat me to it, Jared. There you go. There's today's song of the day from Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Bickley and Murata going off the grid.
Off the grid.
brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
All right, a little daily dose of Vinny Joe trivia for you here on Off the Grid. John Lester of the Cardinals got his 200th career win against the Milwaukee Brewers yesterday. He joins Justin Verlander and Zach Greinke as the only active pitchers to have 200 or more wins. Your question is, who is currently fourth among active pitchers in the major leagues with 190 wins? If you need a hint, I can give it to you.
Yeah, I do need a hint.
Wait, what's the number again?
190.
And what's the top three?
Would you just talk about not listening?
Yes.
Open your ears, Jared!
I'm sorry, I was trying to do that subtly, so...
Yeah, real subtle. Justin Verlander, Zach Greinke, John Lester, 1, 2, 3. Your hint is his name has been mentioned on today's
Max
show.
Max Scherzer.
The correct answer is Max Scherzer.
Wow. Okay.
Five ahead of Clayton Kershaw.
It's criminal that you got that question right when you weren't even listening the first time.
Baseball trivia I do very well at for
that is
whatever
true.
Reason.
That is true.
Max Scherzer also is having an almost historically good run since he's been traded to the Dodgers.
Oh, no, it is historic.
Hasn't lost, and I think he's only allowed like one earned run in seven starts or something.
Yeah,
crazy.
Like 36 innings or something like that. It's ridiculous. The gambling story of the day.
Yeah.
This was all over social media yesterday. I guess one of the sports books, all the sports books are offering the freebies in states where sports gambling is now legal.
Mm-hmm.
So some guy used a freebie to place $25 bet. The way he treated this $25 bet was basically like an office pool where he picked the winners of all 16 games, betting on the money line. He hit the first 15 games.
What?
So going into Monday Night Football, he needed a win by the Detroit Lions to turn that $25 bet into $726,959.
Oh, no.
Imagine having that riding on the Detroit Lions. Needless to say, he lost.
What a dork.
What an idiot.
What an idiot. Why is he...
Come on.
I don't know if he was a Lions fan. They didn't identify the guy, but yeah, he lost.
Wow.
An alert. Kurt Warner's movie trailer officially out. I think it was released last night on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Okay. American Underdog. I just watched it. Looks pretty good.
Does it?
Okay. American Underdog.
I mean, Dennis Quaid.
Zachary Levi. Anna Paquin.
Yeah. Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid might, he's in this movie and he plays Dick Vermeil, and he might have the greatest sports movie resume of all time.
Ooh, more than Costner.
Maybe. He's been in more.
Okay, here's my question. In the movie, what do you think Kurt Warner will be stocking on the grocery store shelves?
They show it.
They show it. It's cereal.
It's
right?
Cereal, yeah.
I didn't even know that.
It's one of those things that is probably, they concocted it for the movie.
Yes.
Because he's like, it's a Wheaties box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With like Dan Marino on it.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wistfully looking at the Wheaties box.
Yep. Wow. Real quick, too, there's not a college football team I'm more fascinated by than the Presbyterian Blue Hose.
Wow.
Justin Bethel played there. That's the second time. So they hired this coach. His name is Kevin Kelly. He was a very successful high school coach in Arkansas. He won like 9 state titles.
Mm-hmm.
But his philosophy was you never punt, always go for the onside kick, always go for 2 points. In the first game, they scored 84 points against a team called St. Andrews.
Okay.
Ren Heffley is their quarterback. He threw 10 touchdown passes in one game. Week two, they beat Fort Lauderdale 68-3. Heffley and his backup combined for 459 yards and 6 touchdown passes. They didn't punt in either game. Then came week three against Campbell, a team that is in their same division, FCS. And Presbyterian is the smallest Division I team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
They lost 72-0.
Wow.
The two quarterbacks combined for 7 interceptions, and they actually did have to punt. They were facing a 4th-and-22 from their own 2-yard line.
Yeah, you got to kick it then.
And they punted. They trailed 49-0 at halftime and started the second half with an onside kick.
Wow.
But after the game, Kelly, the head coach, he reminisced about when he was coaching in Arkansas. And a season opener in 2003, they played Springdale High, who was coached by Gus Malzahn.
Okay.
Gus Malzahn's team beat them 63-0, and wow. Kelly's team rallied to win the state championship that year.
All right, can I say something real quick?
No.
Did you know there are two tropical storms in the Caribbean right now? One is Tropical Storm Peter. The other is Tropical Storm Rose. I'm not lying to you. You know how they do it by, they alternate names, boy, FIBA, and they go alphabet. So Pete Rose, the next two.
I was like, what am I missing?
Wow. Right? Somebody on Twitter said it's heading right for Cooperstown.
Didn't he say heading for Cooperstown, I'll bet?
I'll bet, that's right.
And that's...
Yeah.
That's two levels of comedy right there.
Yeah, that's next level stuff. That, take notes, Carlin.
Minnie was over there thinking, who's Rose Peter? I don't know.
Should have been Tropical Storm Pete. Thanks to John Wilner for joining us. Thanks to you for hanging out. Wolf and Luke up next. We'll catch you tomorrow.